listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back. We're joined by Suzanne Schulte, a woman I admire greatly for her leadership of, well, a couple of important organizations. She is the president of the Defense Forum Foundation, a very valuable outfit. She is also the chairman of the North Korean Freedom Coalition. She is also a former congressional candidate and just a terrific individual who it's a pleasure to welcome back to our microphones. Suzanne, thank you so much for taking a few minutes to talk with us a little bit about the country that is very much on your agenda and should be on ours, North Korea.
Yes, Frank, thank you so much for having me, because we just completed the 14th annual North Korea Freedom Week.
Tell us a little bit about what that entails.
Well, we brought a delegation of defectors that are all involved in getting information into North Korea. And this week is dedicated to promoting freedom and human rights and educating the American people about the situation there. But this particular week, we focused on regime collapse and preparing for unification and what the defectors are doing to get information in and out of North Korea. And I have to tell you, one of the most, greatest examples of how important the work they're doing is this. We were able to present this week to Congressman Chris Smith, Congressman Ed Royce, and Senator Ted Cruz beautiful portraits that had been done by two brothers in Pyongyang. It took them 3 months. It's a beautiful art done by these brothers. If they had been caught making these portraits, they would have been executed. The portraits were smuggled out, and we were able to handle them this week. But why did they do these portraits? Because they were listening to Free North Korea Radio, which has been broadcasting messages from members of Congress among its many programs, giving them letting them know we care about them.
Yeah. So these portraits of whom?
Chris Smith, Ed Royce, and Ted Cruz, because they've been sending in these messages through the radio program saying, we care about you, you're dictators we don't like. But the amazing thing is this proves that they're listening to us and the word's getting in.
Suzanne, what you just said is almost unbelievable, I think, to those of us who've grown up on the hermetically sealed nature of the so-called hermit kingdom. When you look at what is now possible in terms of broadcasting and in terms of people being able to receive broadcasts or other forms of digital information in North Korea, obviously it is prompting many of them to try to get out. Talk a little bit about the numbers of defectors, how they're being treated in China, where most of them managed to come through, and what, if anything, they are able to do in terms of really shedding light on what's going on inside that regime.
Well, I will say that when you look at North Korea, it's a dark place, but when you look at the people of North Korea, there's a great light and a great hope, and that is because the people that have escaped are working most vigorously to get information in, and they're doing the radio broadcast, they're doing the balloon launches. Park Sung-hak leads that program of sending these balloons in, which have leaflets and radios and money. They are smuggling in USBs that have information. You have to use all of these methods because there's not a reliable electricity in North Korea. They're also sending in NoTels, which is a small computer. But you have to do all these things to get information in. But the significance of that is they did a survey, the Ministry of Unification in South Korea did a survey of the recent defectors, and 10% of them had defected because they listened to Free North Korea Radio. And we see these indications of how important the information is. And one of the things that came up during this past week is that the North Koreans know how to get the information in and what the message should be. And although Park Sung-hak, for example, is criticized for these balloon launches because North Korea regime goes nuts whenever he does a balloon launch, he says, all I'm doing is sending a love letter home about the truth.
Well, you're not allowed to do that in North Korea, that's for sure. So, Suzanne Schulte, when you are sort of evaluating the way ahead here, does the fact that more and more North Koreans are becoming cognizant of their state. The horrible repression that they live under is not normal. That other countries in the world, including neighboring South Korea, don't abuse and incarcerate and murder their people as does the government of Kim Jong-un. Is this giving rise, in your judgment and that of the defectors with whom you work, to a serious threat to the North Korean regime? And if so, what should we be doing to encourage that?
It is absolutely a threat. And that's why Kim Jong-un, number one, does everything he can to prevent people from escaping and sends assassins to kill these very people that are doing this work. This is a direct threat. A comment came up during this week that when the North Koreans find out that Kim Jong-un is not God, that regime is gone because of the brainwashing. And I want to, Frank, you'll especially appreciate this, but on the first day of North Korea Freedom Week, the defectors who had served in the military in North Korea went to the Korean War Memorial and laid a wreath and pledging their lives to help liberate North Korea as the Americans had liberated South Korea. This is a very dramatic ceremony because these people were raised to hate us, but when they learn the truth, they become the most pro-American people you'll ever meet. And so this information, flow of information, is the most critical thing we can do, and it's the only solution right now. Things are going out of control. But the NKPL, North Korea People's Liberation Front, they are actively getting information into the military in North Korea, trying to convince them to stand up for the people against the dictator, as happened in Burma, in Egypt, Romania, because they believe that that's the only solution to get rid of the Kim Jong-un regime.
Well, we just heard Rex Tillerson, the Secretary of State, last week trying to assure the North Korean regime that the U.S. government was not seeking its removal, that as long as it got rid of its nuclear weapons, we were good with it remaining in power and, you know, I guess, at least implicitly, continuing to behave as it has towards its own people, though I'm sure that the secretary would insist that, you know, we want human rights to be respected there and so on. But wouldn't that be the practical effect of perpetuating this regime? So, Suzanne, again, the question comes down to what should the Trump administration be doing at this moment? How can it most helpfully support these brave defectors and others inside North Korea, and in the same fashion, support our own national security interests?
Well, first of all, Kim Jong-un is never going to give up his nuclear weapons, period. The only way to end the nuclear threat is to end the regime. There's no way that Kim Jong-un will ever give up his nuclear weapons. He just looks at Omar Gaddafi and says, no, I'm not going down that road. But he's all about staying in power, so he's going to use this to threaten and push and push and push. So the only solution is to give the defectors the tools that they need to be able to reach out to people in North Korea and fund the programs. They don't get any support. The most effective groups have gotten no support from the U.S. government, and with the leftists about to come to power in South Korea, they're likely to get no support from the South Korean government either. And this is the key thing, is to give them the support they need to be able to do this, but to separate the dictator from the people. And the Trump administration should be meeting with these defectors to show that there's an alternative, because these defectors come from all stages of society. There are elites in our delegation. If the Trump administration showed support for the work that they're doing, it would rattle that regime to the very core, because it would show the elites that are in power now that don't see any alternative, that there is an alternative, that we want to be part of change in North Korea, and they can be involved in it.
Much to talk more with you about, Suzanne. Congratulations on the important work you've done this week with the North Korean Freedom Coalition. And, of course, we admire greatly all of that good work you do at the Defense Forum Foundation as well. Thank you so much for joining us. Next up, we'll talk with John Guandolo, one of the leaders in the counter-jihad, about what we're up against, mistakes we may be making in underestimating the threat within. That and more, straight ahead.